Hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Delta Talks, a TMT podcast by Delta Partners. If you're new here, welcome. We're so glad you're tuning in. If you've been here before, welcome back. My name is Arman Paymans. I'm part of the consulting team here at Delta Partners and also an avid podcast listener. In today's episode, we'll be speaking to Sam Evans, the Senior Managing Director at Delta Partners, and Opahit Rahman, the head of wholesale at Axiata. They'll be discussing the state of the wholesale business in Asia and some of the key trends that will impact the industry in the coming years. Let's hear from Sam and Obed.
Thanks, Abhay. So good to speak to you, and it was fantastic to see you, what was it now, 2 weeks ago at the Global Carrier Awards?
Yep. Sam, good to see you, hear your voice again. Always good to talk to you and have a chat.
And let's start. Let's say congratulations. I mean, it was fantastic to see you going up on the stage and pick up an award for Axiata Group Wholesale. I mean, how did that feel to you? How did that feel to your team?
Well, firstly, Sam, been in the industry for a long time, worked for different groups, picked up the same trophy or the same award for, various other carriers. So not the first time for me personally, but this time around, it was a bit different. It felt different. It felt, being honored, I felt elated. It was a humbling experience, and especially, given the fact that we just barely started the journey at Axiata Group Wholesale. If you remember, it was just 2020 that, I came in. We started transformation. I'm sure we're going to talk about it later. But, starting in 2020 and going into 2021 and with 6 nominations, and this year with 9 nominations, and then finally bagging an award, literally, it was a humbling experience. Obviously, the aspirations don't stop there. We're looking at more to come in the coming years.
Fantastic. I've got this visual of you at home, a bit like one of those football players with all their trophies in the cabinet, all the football shirts that they've swapped with the opposition. But what keeps you going in terms of, you've been in this industry for a long time. You've been in, a number of different carriers. You've won the awards before. What's the motivation for you? Let's talk about you first, and then let's come on to Axiata Group Wholesale. What's the motivation to go again?
Look, Sam, obviously, it's been more than 2 decades being in the same industry, same kind of, same sector. But, I've seen the oil industry evolve, the sector evolve. The transformation that I've seen in my, the whole career, it's been kind of mind-boggling for me personally as well. So, every turn I take, every journey I start, there's a different motivation. But one thing that has been a common denominator across, the various jobs I've done, various tasks I've taken up, it's more about, turnarounds and transformation. So my personal motivation has been, transformation journeys, starting something afresh. And that's what I'm doing at Axiata as well at this point in time. And that kind of, motivates me thoroughly.
And what is that transformation at Axiata? I think, we know of Axiata in terms of its mobile opcos across the Asia region. What is Axiata thinking about in terms of group wholesale? Maybe you can start by just setting the scene of what you have today and what the group has today, and then the vision of where you're going.
Yeah, so Sam, I think you're quite well versed with where Axiata is, what our geographical footprint looks like. But I think perhaps for the wider audience, I'll just reiterate that. So obviously, Axiata has been a key regional player when it comes to mobile and fixed services, being in the region for quite a long time. We've had scale. So, we have about 150 million subscribers in an addressable population of about 500 million. That's quite a lot, in number terms alone. Even from a geographical reach within the Asia Pacific and wider Asia, we have a good outreach there with key geographies already covered. But, if you zoom out, there are two key things from a wholesale standpoint that, you know, kind of jump out. And actually, you know, talking about motivation, talking about, you know, my journey, these were two key things that I looked at when I was taking up the job. Most of the markets where we operate, you know, there is a labor surplus, you know, with a huge base of overseas foreign workers that need connectivity, be it, you know, basic voice services or even, you know, the content part. And the other thing is, all these markets, not only ours, the wider Asia is tourist-centric. So, you know, from that perspective, again, you know, roaming, connectivity, content, that all kind of, you know, makes sense. So these were two things that really kind of stand out when it comes to Axiata Group. And, you know, talking about wholesale, it has been quite important, especially given that, you know, if you look at the economic outlook of most of the markets where we operate, foreign exchange remains a key contributor. And if you basically convert that into wholesale, all the voice revenue, roaming revenue, even from a connectivity standpoint, you know, it's quite important for most of these markets for foreign income to come in. And if you equate that into Axiata Group, wholesale has been one of the key contributors to the group EBITDA. You know, it's a fairly decent contribution, at least, you know, for the past 5-6 years. However, you know, the key thing that Axiata Group noticed in about the last 3-4 years, again, you know, in line with the industry, was that there was a decline in revenues, just like, you know, what was happening in the region otherwise as well. However, in our instance, given that we had taken a slightly different approach, or Axiata had taken a slightly different approach in terms of how to tackle wholesale, Axiata Group saw a deeper decline than what was being experienced in general. And, you know, it was a very simple problem statement to address, that how do we address this decline? Can we basically slow it down? Can we flatten it? So, you know, we can discuss it later. But this is where the whole journey started. So, you know, just to set the scene, Sam, as you were asking, the problem statement was, let's arrest what we have at this point in time by using our scale, by bringing synergies, by bringing, you know, a kind of a collated effort in terms of how do we tackle wholesale. And again, you know, majority of our wholesale portfolio was more on the organic side, you know, more consumer-driven rather than enterprise-driven. So that's where the whole journey started in 2020, whereby we formed Axiata Group Wholesale, you know, in terms of, you know, looking at a model which is more conducive to our governance, our operating models, our way of, you know, running our portfolio. So, you know, you would have seen extremes of centralized wholesale teams to center-led wholesale teams. I think, you know, we are somewhere in between, whereby we call it the collaborative brain. And again, you know, this collaborative brain approach is not only applicable to wholesale. We have replicated a similar model in other areas of business as well, like technology, even enterprise procurement. So, in general, you know, it's more about, you know, working collectively towards, you know, delivering more value for the shareholders.
Yeah, I get it. And let's go back to 2020. Right? As you're forming this, the world of international traffic is changing dramatically, right? As borders shut, people are traveling less. One of the questions I often ask your peers is, have we returned to the pre-pandemic traffic patterns? Because, you know, there was thinking at the time that what's going to happen to the future of international voice? What's going to happen to the future of international roaming? Are we coming out to the other side now? Or are you seeing that you're having to build a business radically different in terms of assumptions to the one that you thought you'd have to build when you started back in 2020?
Yeah. You know, like, Sam, I would take it one by one, but let's start off with voice first. Obviously, you know, things are different post-pandemic compared to, you know, pre-pandemic. The corridors have shifted. The balance of trade has shifted as well. And again, you know, it's applicable from market to market in a different way. as I said earlier, you know, we are kind of, you know, sending overseas foreign workers. So, you know, depending on the economic health of the countries where they are basically go and work and live in, that kind of directly kind of relates to what kind of international voice traffic is, you know, generated from those markets. So obviously, there was a kind of a sudden shift in terms of people coming back. The whole voice portfolio is shrinking really fast. But to answer your thing, is it coming back? Has it come back? Not yet. But will it come back? Still can't answer. Given the fact that, you know, there are new things that are coming into play. Obviously, you know, OTT, you know, CPaaS, these things have, you know, kind of, you know, picked up impetus, especially during the COVID times. That's one thing. Then the other thing is, if you look at our portfolio as well, there are certain macro factors that really influence, you know, as how much of voice is being used in the traditional manner. So, you know, digital penetration is one thing that really comes. Digital literacy is another thing that is really, you know, meaningful when it comes to, you know, all these services. Meaning that, you know, if there is more penetration, there's more literacy, they're going to, you know, the customer or the receiving party would move away from the traditional voice, meaning, you know, it will decline faster. But it's a kind of a mixed bag for us, varies from market to market. Last but not the least is about the affordability part as well. You know, data, although, you know, it's widespread in most of our markets, but looking from a consumption perspective, it's still not there. Obviously, the middle class is growing in most of the markets where we operate, but, you know, there's still some work that needs to be done over there. So, in a nutshell, to answer your question, it's still not there. You know, if I would be a little bit harsh, I don't think so it's going to come back because, you know, traditional voice is declining. However, there are new models that are coming up. For example, you know, the voice numbering ranges are being repurposed for new services with hyperscalers like cloud numbers, you know, CPaaS enablement. So there might be new revenue streams that would basically emerge out of, you know, the remnants of the traditional voice service, but would they basically offset all the decline? Not sure.
So in that sense, about how are you thinking about this going forward? Because the classic, let's call traditional assumptions of the international carrier business, there's a voice business, there's a roaming business, mobility, data, you know, serving your parent carrier. That doesn't necessarily hold as a growth story anymore. And as you say, yes, CPaaS is coming. Yes, there's other solutions coming, but not necessarily going to replace the revenue of before or the margin of before. So as you look forward and you build the strategy for Axiata Group Wholesale, how do you need to think differently?
Yes, and so, like, you know, obviously I'll stop short. Like, voice is one part of our overall portfolio, but like any other carrier or an MNO. You know, if I basically kind of, you know, split it out, there are four areas: voice, roaming, messaging, data, and capacity. That's how we basically slice it out. Obviously, you know, needless to say, voice had been a dominant revenue contributor, which is going down. But there are other areas which are fast coming up now. So, you know, if you look at roaming, again, talking about roaming, you know, we've seen and experienced and witnessed a lot of volatility. Again, you know, it's back directly to tourism. Going way back, you know, in early days, if you remember, after 9/11, everyone thought that, you know, just roaming is dead. But no, if you look at this time around as well, you know, the forecasts were that, you know, it's never going to come back to the same levels where it used to be. But looking at the statistics, you know, that I see month on month, tourism is coming back with a vengeance. And that is literally equating into those numbers coming back. Yes, you know, like it's going to be another couple of years before we come to a full recovery, but numbers are already there. Having said that, you know, roaming as it is right now probably is not going to fill up the gap that we have on the voice side. But there are new emerging models that are coming. IoT roaming, you know, the use cases that are coming out of 5G, unbeknown at this point in time, but obviously there is a kind of, an ambition to basically, you know, just monetize it and then fill up the gaps. One thing I want to basically mention here, which is a little bit off on the tangent, you know, eSIMs, they are changing the landscape further, you know, when it comes to roaming. You know, at this point in time, what do you call eSIM roaming is not that prevalent, especially in our markets. But if it really picks up, I think, you know, that can be a game changer for us.
Quite. How is eSIM going to change the game? But what do we need to see? Because I've been hearing eSIM will scale for some time and it's not there yet, right? So what do we need for it to scale and how do you really think it will be a game changer?
So from a roaming standpoint, you know, let's kind of, you know, simplify it. So if you look at a customer, the only thing that, you know, that identifies them to a particular jurisdiction is, you know, the local number allocation. You know, with eSIMs, that barrier is going to be basically broken, meaning that, you know, I can carry any number anywhere without, you know, the limitation of, you know, having a local number. So I think that would perhaps, you know, change the whole landscape in terms of how roaming is basically dealt vis-a-vis eSIMs. You know, for example,
Abad, I speak to you, I speak to a lot of your GLF board member peers, and the topic of conversation at the moment is emergence of 5G and impact on roaming. Some refer to it as a game changer, some are more skeptical. What's your view on the impact 5G is going to have on roaming?
I think it's a very valid question, Sam. I think let's slice it down. You know, let's first of all look at the fundamentals, the basics of roaming. I think 5G definitely is going to be a game changer in there, the way we are set up, the way the whole ecosystem has been built up. You know, like if you look at the whole value chain, you've got the roaming partners at both ends, but in between, you know, you've got the data clearinghouse, you've got the financial clearinghouse, you've got the signaling providers, you've got the connectivity providers. I think that whole ecosystem is going to change. You know, even from a billing and evolution perspective, you know, you see new standards coming in. I think the whole roaming ecosystem is going to be commoditized. So that's one thing, which perhaps, you know, it's good for the industry in general, and especially, you know, for the end consumers. Now, if you move towards the business models or commercial models, obviously, you know, those are going to change as well. You know, with network slicing, especially, you know, on the enterprise side, you know, there won't be any geographical domain defined, you know, as who serves what. So the roaming model itself is going to change commercially. Plus, you know, like all these new use cases that we've seen, especially with connected cars, connected devices, you know, appliances and whatnot. I think, you know, this is one area which is largely untapped at this point in time from a roaming perspective. But obviously, you know, it's a balancing act. If you look at from a revenue share perspective, there are carriers, operators who might be able to capture this revenue from a local side, but now they have to basically capture it from a roaming perspective. So, you know, there will be a kind of a balancing act. However, I think one key thing that would really make it change or would be a game changer is how regulation pans out. I'm sure, you know, while you talk to the industry peers and colleagues, one thing that really jumps out at this point in time is whether permanent roaming is going to be allowed going forward or not. So three elements that I would basically say: A, ecosystem, definitely. B, the commercial models, they will change, but they are kind of pertinent to the fact as how regulation pans out in each market.
And to win here, Vital, to be competitive, if you look at what you need to do in Axiata Group Wholesale, what are the priorities to have a really competitive 5G roaming proposition?
Look, first is obviously, you know, like you asked a very, I would say, loaded question, especially given the fact that we sit in Malaysia, where you know, 5G wholesale network is being rolled out at this point in time. But I think going forward, there are two things from a roaming perspective, or even, you know, from a national perspective, that would basically, domestic perspective, I mean, that would need to be looked into as key enablers. You know, going forward, I think network coverage or quality of service is not going to be the key differentiator. The key differentiator in terms of 5G would be the use cases that you develop. And again, you know, when it comes to use cases, I think scale is going to basically play a pivotal role, you know, going forward. You know, there will be new startups coming in terms of, you know, driving new use cases, new products, new services. So I think scalability is going to be one thing that would really be a key differentiator, apart from, you know, the price, the proposition and everything.
If we look beyond 5G, I mean, there's so much change in the market. You've touched on it already. Evolution of voice into CPaaS, competitive dynamics, new services. Can we also talk about the change in subsea and hyperscaler? We've seen recently announcements of, you know, some huge cable systems coming into the region, so Echo and Bifrost. We're seeing also the build out of, you know, a lot of hyperscaler infrastructure within the region. How do you see the regional connectivity landscape changing based on these, right? Lots more trans-Pacific cable capacity, availability zones of hyperscalers. What do you foresee that playing out over the next 2-3 years?
So I think first thing first, you know, let's set the scene. I'm sure, you know, you and I have discussed it at various fora. Most of the traffic that is increasing is within Asia. Like, you know, this is the fastest growing market, meaning there's a lot of content, there's a lot of, you know, digital, a lot of digital services that are being created within the region, but they need to be delivered and consumed in the region as well. So straight off the bat, first of all, yes, you know, there is a dire need of upgrading and in upscaling the regional network of connectivity. But obviously, you know, it doesn't stop here. You still have to connect to the outside world as well. You know, just to give a quick example, you know, from our perspective, since you mentioned Echo, Axiata Group, you know, we follow a very asset-light model at this point in time. But, you know, asset-light in the sense that, you know, we are not investing very heavily on, you know, transcontinental subsea cables, barring Echo. But, you know, we have a clear focus to make sure that the whole ecosystem is built up within the region to support the growth that we're seeing from our markets and even the neighboring markets as well. So, but, you know, again, a couple of things. The current subsea cable network in the region is either dated or it's basically up to the capacity. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And again, you know, it dovetails into the appetite, the vision of most of the nations to digitalize the societies. But there is a little bit of a disparity there. In most, if not all, the regulation is not so conducive for you know, players to just come in and start building the capacity. The regulation is layered. There are certain hindrances in terms of, you know, just building up those capacities straight up. You know, for example, just to give you a few or quote some markets, if you look at Malaysia, it's very competitive. You know, it has proximity to Singapore, which certainly helps, but, you know, like, you know, it's not helping in terms of growth. There is an oversupply of data centers, but still, in terms of capacity, international capacity, there is not enough supply at this point in time. You move to Indonesia, you know, it's a rising star, you know, with lots of activity happening. There are a lot of, you know, DCs being built up over there. Cable landings are coming in, but still, given the sheer size of that market, it's still not enough. You know, it needs to basically grow up. And again, you know, before I move on to other areas, you know, the geopolitical scenario that's happening in and around this part, especially in South China Sea, it's bringing in some opportunities, but, you know, there are certain risks that, you know, these countries and carriers operating within this area carry with them as well. Now, if you move westwards, you go to Sri Lanka. It sits on the maritime route, you know, strategically placed in terms of, you know, the west part, especially Middle East, India, connecting into Asia. There's a lot of activity happening over there. And again, you know, given the proximity to India, there's a lot of opportunity, but it's becoming too competitive. Most of the cables are coming in there. So there's more work that needs to be done over there, but, you know, from a DC perspective as well. But given that, you know, it's a smaller market, it has to rely on some bigger scale. And that's what we're looking at as well. Other markets, if you go into Bay of Bengal, Nepal, Bangladesh, and even, you know, within Southeast Asia, if you look at Cambodia, there's a lot of work that needs to be done from a connectivity perspective. Again, as I said, you know, regulation has to open up. We are seeing signs of it happening, but not immediately. Now, you know, just zooming out now to answer your question in terms of, is it enough or do we need to do more? I think hyperscalers have come into play as well. They've started investing in the region, but mainly long haul. So, you know, they're coming to some key gravitational points like Singapore, Hong Kong was there. But, you know, they are now basically inching northwards towards Malaysia and beyond. But they're the regional mile, the national access, providing redundancy, providing resilience, is something where there's still an opportunity and more work to be done.
Thanks, Abhay. And if you look at all of this, and you talk about the change in subsea landscape, you spoke about introduction of 5G, geopolitics, looking forward over the next 12 months, what are the key challenges that within Axiata Group Wholesale you have to address, yes or yes or yes, the must-dos?
You know, the key one, Sam, that's really high on my agenda and Axiata's agenda and probably industry's agenda is fraud. Like, obviously, you know, we've been basically hammered down with traditional revenues dwindling. But, you know, the fraud element, the revenue leakage that's happening, that kind of just amplifies that degrowth. And, you know, again, it's not only on the traditional part, which is voice. If you look at, you know, the recent phenomena around A2P, and A2P for us has been a kind of, has been a growth area and will be a growth area, at least for the next couple of years, given that authentication from, you know, hyperscalers, financial institutions is still, you know, picking up impetus. So in general, you know, we have a clear focus to, you know, fight fraud. And I'm sure, you know, like, needless to say, the work that you've done under ITWGLF to support that has been remarkable. But, you know, I think there's more that needs to be done, especially within the Asian region when it comes to the fraud. I think there's an opportunity for us to basically plug that hole, and that's where we want to focus on. So that's one part that we are very clear about and we have focused on. The other thing that really jumps out for me is, you know, as you just mentioned, and as well as the geopolitical shifts. There's so much happening in the region and around that kind of, you know, basically impacts our both near-term and long-term strategy. You know, in terms of, you know, when we play out, like, we basically work on new cable systems or consortiums, you know, it kind of, you know, has an implication there. It has an implication in terms of how we build up our data centers, where to build it up, how to connect. That is one area which kind of, you know, is a key challenge for us. But again, you know, we can't see it, you know, in the hindsight is how things are going to pan out. The best we are doing is, you know, kind of de-risking in terms of the information available to us at that very moment. So that still remains a challenge for us. But, you know, in certain cases, it turns out to be an opportunity as well for us as well, especially what we witnessed in Indonesia in the past couple of years. But, you know, this is something that's really on our kind of radar, at least for the next 12 months, to see, you know, how things pan out.
And for you, Abhay, personally, and maybe a good place to bring this to a close, you're a man that loves transformation, right? I can see you've got that fire. What is success for you over the next 12 months personally? Is it more awards for Axiata when you come to the Global Carrier Awards next year? Or how do you measure your own achievement and your own success?
You know, wouldn't mind having more awards, Sam, obviously. But I think, you know, award is a kind of a knock-on effect of what we deliver and how do we transform. So even, you know, talking about this award again, I think that was a testament to the transformation that we did internally. But, you know, it was felt and seen and known externally as well. Hence, you know, we got to that point where we had multiple nominations. But awards aside, I think the key thing for us is to basically make sure that, you know, our revenues stabilize, you know, on the organic side, by the way, which we have achieved this year, or we will be achieving this year. That was actually on our 3-year horizon. So we've done it faster by a year. But, you know, the key thing is the inorganic growth part. We haven't been traditionally focusing on the enterprise play within the wholesale domain. That's something that we picked up in the last, I would say, around 3 to 4 quarters. There's a big transformation that's happening internally in terms of, you know, just making sure that we become the key enabler for enterprise digital transformation in the region. When it comes to connectivity, when it comes to, you know, providing service, when it comes to, you know, providing the right enablers for startups to basically, you know, move forward. So I think, as personally, those are the things that kind of, you know, motivates me. But, you know, taking a more philosophical, wider, personal view on what are the things that, you know, I would like to do, I think, you know, it's a very simple thing for me. You know, the social impact that we are creating through connecting the unconnected. And again, I'm not using it as a cliche. If you look at the markets where we are, there are 500 million people who still are, or most of them are still not connected. You know, driving that thing really kind of, you know, motivates and encourages me to take it forward. Where do we want to be? Very simple again. 2020, when we started the journey, the vision was that clear, that we want to be the preferred partner of choice for Asia. That's where we're basically moving towards, and we're moving faster than we had anticipated, which is good. So does that convert into more awards? You know, we would be more than happy to take it.
Fantastic. Well, Abhay, I wish you and Axiata nothing but the greatest of success over the next 12 months. And I look forward to hopefully seeing you back on the stage at the GCAs next year. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Delta Talks podcast.
Lovely talking to you, Sam, as always. And thanks for having me here.